Well, I want to start here this evening. you can turn there if you'd like to, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But as we've been sharing in some past lessons on renewing our mind and right and wrong thinking, I just want to start here because we have become, as the scripture said, a brand new creature in Christ. So our spirits have been made brand new. We've been made the righteousness of God, what, in Him or in Christ. So our spirits are brand new. And so God has imparted His very own life, His eternal life, everlasting life, into our spirits. But our minds, as we've been sharing in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what? We can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that these other particular translations, the Dean, it says, a true Christian is not merely a man altered, but a man remade. So we've been remade, we've been made brand new, new in kind, new in quality. Our minds are being transformed by being renewed. But along with that, and we talked about putting on the new man, but with that, we face obstacles. And let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. I want us to look at this. I want to focus on this evening. And Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 20 and 21 and 22 and 23. And a familiar scripture in King James says, my son, attend to what? My words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them. So that must mean when we see something, the writer was inspired to write this, he said, keep them. That must mean we could possibly not keep them, right? We could let them go. So this says here, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto them that find them, and health, or you could say medicine, to all thy flesh. All their flesh. Verse 23, let's look at this. This is what I want to focus on here. Keep thy heart. Say that. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And some of the other translations of the NIV, it says, guard your heart. So the King James says, keep your heart. This says, guard your heart. The Knox translation says, use all thy watchfulness to keep thy heart true. That is the fountain whence life springs. So life comes from the heart. God placed where? He put eternal life in the heart. What is the word of God? It's referred to as the word of life, right? So it's the life is in the Word. The New Living says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The Amplified's keep and guard. Keep and guard. I like that. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. You know, a lot of times we guard our stuff, right? We guard whatever it is you hold most valuable, you guard, right? Sometimes if somebody wants to go in the refrigerator, she's like, don't you touch that. That's mine, whatever that is, right? Or don't touch that. That's mine. You're guarding it. You're keeping an eye on it. You're guarding that with all diligence, right? Some favorite food you had, you go, who touched my food, right? So it's the same way. He's saying, guard, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life, or the forces of life. The God's Word translation says, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. And I always like this. This is a complete Jewish translation. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. And the New English Bible, it says, guard your heart more than any treasure. Guard your heart more than any treasure, for it is the source of all life. And so when we talk about life coming into our spirits, this life, this glory, strengthens us. And so when we let go, or we don't keep hold of that, then it can affect the strength that we have in our spirit. It just does. So the condition of your heart affects us, affects your body, affects your thinking. It's the source of life's consequences, as that scripture says. John 6:63, it says, it is the spirit that does what? Quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. The word that I speak unto you. So guard it, keep it in your heart, for it's what? Spirit. It's life to us. So we have a responsibility to keep that and to guard it. Why don't we turn over here for a minute? Matthew 15. And when we talk about words and renewing our minds, and his disciples, Peter was asking him, trying to ask him to understand this parable that he had just spoken. And Jesus said, are you not without understanding? This is verse 16. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart. And they do what? They defile the man. So that's why it's so important when it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. What we let in can then come out in ways that we don't want them, and they can do what? Defile us. Defile, or to disrupt some things in our life. Proverbs 16, you don't have to turn there, I'll read this. It said, pleasant words, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words. And Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and he did what? And healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So God's word, we can turn over here, Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 12, just laying a little foundation here before we touch on some scriptures that I want to touch on this evening or focus on. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word is alive, it's powerful. That's what the New Living Translation said. It's alive, full of power, it's operative, living and active. And so we can see here that as we get his word, in him was what? Life. In him was life. He is the word of life. And so as we get the word of life into our spirits and we keep our hearts, then we're not going to be overcome or weakened. And I think this is one of the things I read someone, a minister, he was talking about how a lot of individuals are just running on empty fumes. You understand what I mean? In other words, they're running without being filled with the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God. Isn't that what Joshua 1:8 says? That we'll be successful in all the areas of our life if we do what? Meditate, let them not depart from thine eyes, and we act upon them, or we're observed to do them. So this is key, is feeding on the Word of God. Proverbs 18, let's take a look at this. Talking about keeping our heart or keeping our spirit. But Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Talking about your spirit man, which is made brand new. But we need to feed it and keep it strengthened. You know, when I think about, you know, when you think about people that become infirmed or they become sick, what usually ends up happening is what? Their immune system has been what? Compromised or weakened. And so spiritually, the same thing can happen. If we let our spirit become weak, then we may not confront issues in life to the best that we could if our spirits were strong. Proverbs 18 and verse 14, it says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" See, now wounded, just it means stricken or broken, a wounded. So in other words, an individual whose spirit has been wounded or weakened, it can be difficult. This said here, who can bear the infirmity? Who can bear that issue? The Amplified, it says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear?" So we're talking about keeping our heart, guarding our heart so that it is maintained and is strong. See, because that's what the devil's, he's fighting. See, a lot of times he'll get us busy doing things and we become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and don't realize it. And that happens in the natural realm. People get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, sick. And you're running, no sleep, just running, eating Twinkies and whatever you eat, and the Snickers, right? I don't even know. Do they make Twinkies anymore? I don't know. They call that health food. I don't know. Fast food. But you get my point. You keep running, and then all of a sudden, you're sniffling and cold, and you come down with something because what? Your immune system's weakened. But it didn't happen just, boom. Didn't happen overnight. You just kept running, and then you got to the place where you were weakened. The New Living Translation says, "The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear it if the spirit is crushed?" See? And that's why the devil fights so much to discourage people. And that discouragement, you know, can come on in degrees. Somebody might start strong, but then as troubles persist, and you don't keep yourself strengthened, you don't keep an atmosphere where your spirit is strengthened, and you don't keep people around you to help you stay strengthened, that can chip away. Right? That can chip away, where then a person just goes, "Ah, the heck with it." Right? And that happens. So, just as I said, like in the natural, immune system is strong. It fights off disease and sickness. I mean, there's diseases that are probably running around in your body that when the immune system's strong, it just kills it. It knocks it off and kills it. People are exposed, we're exposed to germs and stuff all the time. And when your immune system's strong, it just knocks it off, kills it. It doesn't have a chance. And that's the same way when it comes to us spiritually, that when stuff comes up, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See? But when we get weaker, it's a different story, right? Let's look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. It says what? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, right? A broken or a wounded spirit, you could say, drieth the bones. But now listen to some of the other translations. See? I'm not questioning whether, you know, what that means here, dry at the bones, but it says in New Living, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. There it is. Saps your strength. See, a wounded or broken spirit, a weak spirit will sap your strength. See, that's why, you know, when you see Mark Hank and somebody say, let's just laugh. Let's just, ha, ha, ha. Good. Laugh. Just laugh. Make yourself laugh. Well, I ain't got anything to laugh about. Laugh at the devil. Do it in the natural. I've done it. Just start laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Do that for 15, 20 minutes. And then your spirit starts saying, you know what it's like? I'll tell you what it's like. Do all of you feel yippy-skippy when you start praying in the Spirit? No. You start praying in the Spirit in the natural. And after 10 or 15 minutes, you're like, woo! Is that not true? Do the same thing and just decide, I'm going to laugh. Do that for about 10 or 15 minutes. It will stir up strength in your spirit. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And you just decide, I'm going to laugh. You laugh at obstacles and go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And you keep doing that, and I'll tell you what. The obstacles will lighten. They'll lift. It's the truth. Listen to the Amplified. It says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. I read the New Living. The Complete Jewish Bible. A happy heart is good medicine, but low spirits sap one's strength. I'm just so depressed today. I'm feeling so low, it'll sap your strength. It'll sap your strength. The Passion Translation, it says, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. See? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because things that are going on, you know, I'm finding, make these confessions every day. Start. I'm making a decision and an effort to do this more often. Say, I know your voice, Holy Spirit. I know you. I know you more clearly than my own voice. I know your voice, and I hear you. And you're directing me, and you're leading me into good things. And begin to say it with conviction. Even when you're saying, well, I'm not sure if it's him or not, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. And what'll happen is when you start deciding to do certain things and watch certain things and read certain things, you'll get a witness. Nope, don't do it. Don't do it. Because those kind of things, what I'm talking about is guarding your heart. It'll sap the joy in your heart. He is joy. He is our joy and our strength. And when we start looking and feeding on things of this world, that's why it's so important. Guard your heart, renew your mind, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Because otherwise, it can literally sap our strength. It'll sap it. God's Word translation. It says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but depression drains one's strength. Depression drains one's strength. See, guard our heart. Guard your heart. Let's look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. And verse 13. This is a familiar scripture, but it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, see, the spirit is broken. The sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. That word sorrow can mean hurt or pain. And that word broken can mean stricken or wounded. So if your heart is heavy, it can affect your spirit. It'll affect it. It'll weaken. It'll weaken you. It'll sap, as it says, sap your strength. The New Living says, a glad heart, this is Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. I like this. This is the Message translation. A cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. That's true. That's true. A sad heart makes it difficult to get through the day. You're like, man, I don't even forget this. See, that's why it's important to guard your heart. Get it strengthened with His life, His joy, so that in the face of obstacles, in the face of difficult things, there can be joy in one's heart. Even though it's pressing on your mind, you decide, because what is it? This heart, what does it say? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. It's the source, because what did it say? It said, and when we read in Matthew, it said, that which comes out of the heart defileth the man. It'll defile us. It'll change the course of things. It'll put some things in motion that we don't want to put in motion. Just because we're what? We're frustrated, or our hearts have meditated on something, or our minds have, and it's gotten down in our hearts. See? We need our spirits to be strong. So, this is something that, this is a question. Where does the life that is in your flesh come from? See, think about this. When your spirit, we'll talk about this. Where does that life that energizes your flesh, where does that come from? Your spirit. It's the spirit that does what? Quickens. What happens when your spirit leaves your body? No more life. So the spirit gives life. Your spirit gives life to this flesh. That's why it's important to guard your heart. Guard your spirit with all diligence. because it is the source of life. God is the source of life, but that life comes into our spirit, and out of our spirit it flows and gives life to this body. It affects this body. That's why it says that when we read, it says those that find it in Proverbs 4, it says it's what? It's medicine to what? All their flesh. It's all their flesh. So we need to guard this heart, keep it strong, keep it strengthened, so that we're not overcome with things in life, right? So just as I said, that the condition of your spirit will affect your body. The condition of your spirit can affect your body. Now, we also know, you know, we can do some natural things that maybe are not too good, and that can affect your body. But what we're talking about here is guarding your heart. If you don't guard it properly, it will affect your body. Well, medical science has already proven that. They've already written, I mean, I've read them, articles where they said people that have an upbeat going into major surgeries, they say people that have a very positive outlook and a positive confession with their mouth, they're more apt to come out of these major surgeries in a very good way. I mean, they've already written about this. If I'm not saying this, somebody correct me, but I believe that's so. And they've talked about how people who were joyful and people that have an upbeat countenance go through issues in life more successful, just on the natural side, right? Just in the natural. They don't understand it, but they're saying, well, this group of people over here, this kind of people over here, they walk through life better than these people, right? Well, we know what that is. That's a spirit that has a strong, we could say, a strong countenance, right? It's the truth. So we need to keep our heart with what? All diligence. For out of it come the life that's in your flesh. It affects your spirit, your body, I mean. Matthew 13, let's jump over here for a minute. Matthew 13, this is a parable of the sower. But I wanted to just look at one verse, Matthew 13. And verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22, it says, he also that does what? Receiveth seed, or we could say receive the word, among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and what? The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches does what? Chokes the word. It chokes the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. So that's why, you know, your spirit can become unfruitful, or it won't produce like it should. It can become broken or weakened because we take on what? The cares of this world. The care of this world or the deceitfulness of riches. It can affect your spirit. Now let's go over for a few moments just over here. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And wanted to look at this for a few moments. Familiar scripture. Actually, to get the full, let's read from verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, this is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, this verse 9 and forth, it says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might do what? Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful. See, fruitful. Not something that's being unfruitful, but being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the thought continues, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with what? Joyfulness. Hallelujah. So I wanted to focus on that verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, listen to some of these other translations, because this really blessed me. The Bible in Basic English, it says, full of strength. See, that's what we're talking about, being strengthened. Full of strength in the measure of the great power of his glory, so that you may undergo all troubles with joy. Oh boy. Strengthened, full of strength in the measure of the great power of his glory, so that you may undergo all troubles with joy. The Complete Jewish Bible, we pray that you will be continually strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might, so that you will be able to persevere and be patient in any situation joyfully. But guess what happens here? If we're not strengthened, if we're not feeding on the Word of God, if we're not praying for one another, one can become what? Weak. And they may not go through things, you know, with perseverance and with joy. Right? So it's important that we pray for one another. That's why it's important to sometimes take time. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray for all men. Lifting up. You see your brother or sister that may be struggling through something or going through a rough spot, or maybe they don't seem like they've got the joy button pushed and they don't have a smile on their face. Pray for them. Because that's what Paul did here. They prayed for those in the church in Colossae. The New Living Translation says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. He's praying they'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. Boy, you know, when you hear people talking about, oh boy, I just don't know if I can make it. That's time we pray. That's the time we pray. When we hear people that are down in the dumps and they're struggling and they're having a hard time doing what? Enduring. That's the time for us to pray. Pray for them. That they endure and have patience. The New Century Version says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come. But you will be patient. See, God will strengthen you with his own great power. That's what their prayer is, that God would strengthen them with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come. That's why I love when I hear Pastor Hagin say, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. I will not be defeated. Sometimes you got to say that and say it and say it and say it because you feel like you're being defeated and you want to quit. And you've got to say, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. And when you feel like that, you've got to have others that, when you see that, you've got to pray for one another so that they're strengthened with his glorious power so they can endure. Because the devil's going after, he keeps pushing buttons in people's lives, and you see some. What ends up happening is, you see this, what happens, what do predators do? They go after weak and slow and infirmed. What do? They get them off from the herd. People who feel like, well, nobody cares. I just, you know, I'm just going to go off and not bother anybody. No. People want to give up. They want to quit. God's word translation, it says, we ask him to strengthen you by his glorious might with all the power you need to patiently endure everything with joy. We are going to patiently endure with joy. And I'm believing for strength to be infused into people that are walking through things in life, whatever that is. It could be large or small. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. When people are discouraged, they're discouraged. When people feel like, you know, that I don't know if I can get through this, whatever, that may not seem like a big deal to you. Maybe you've walked through something. But to them, it's monumental. And so God is saying that we can face these troubles in life with joy by being strengthened with his might in our inner man. Strengthened with his glorious power. And he will do that. And we've got to believe for that. Keep, as I was saying, keep our hearts guarded. Keep them guarded at all cost. And don't feed on things that we shouldn't be feeding on. When we feel weak, what do you do in the natural? Isn't it interesting? When I feel like I need something to eat because I've been running all day and I haven't, what do? Say, well, I'll just keep going. I'm just going to muscle this out and keep going. No, you don't. You get something to eat. Or you're going to do what? Fall flat on your face. You get something to eat. And it's the same thing. When we feel where we've run too far, spiritually speaking, and we feel weakened spiritually, we need to stop and do what? Feed. Feed on the Word of God. Pray more in the Spirit. And be strengthened in our inner man. I'm just encouraging us to feed on this. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. That life that affects our body and our soul. Amen. Praise God. Hope you got a little something out of this. Because times that we're in at this point, people just, you know, when you go through life and you just go into the grocery store, people look like they're down in the dumps. And you say, well, why are you so joyful? Amen. Because I got the joy of the Lord.